chairperson's supposed to briefly qualify. I'm convinced I'm an alcoholic. By that I mean I've got what the doctor describes in the big book, and you know, we got all kinds of other crazy characteristics, and I share a lot of them with you to one degree or another. But what's wrong with me is I've always drank. I've always associated with people that drank. My memories of drunken family members is not bad memories or anything like that. But something has happened to me, and I cannot control my drinking once I get started. I don't dare take a drink. And the big book describes this condition and calls it alcoholism. It says it's kind of like an allergy or something. I'm convinced it's physical as well as mental. I don't think it's spiritual at all. But I don't think at this point in my life I can take one drink of alcohol without setting this thing off. And what I mean by setting this thing off is like an unquenchable thirst. And my personality does change pretty quickly. And it's like I can't get enough. And I go on and I can't hold my liquor. I don't go on very long anymore. I black out every time I drink. But I generally cause some destruction along the way. And it's one thing when it's me, which it usually is, but there's a lot of other good people that get hurt. And I was 45 years old last time I had a drink. I never been to a treatment center or anything like that. Was trying to get my driver's license back and was exposed to AA. And I met some people that had a message, you know, a message about themselves and what had happened to themselves and what they believed about themselves. And I believed them. And I finally got desperate enough that I decided I was going to try this thing. I need to tell you that I'm also convinced that no human power can keep me from doing it again. Now, the drinking problem is damn bad enough, but what I got is a real bad mental problem that keeps me from doing it again. And other people have a good right to think when I tell them I'm never going to do it again, and then I'm drunk a short time later, that I was lying when I said that. I wasn't lying. I meant it. I cannot keep from doing it. I found a way out from the message that these people in AA brought to me. And the guy that I talked to is trying to follow the same directions in the big book that the original people that wrote it claimed that they're doing. And we all do it different. But I'm telling you, what has happened to me, I consider a miracle. My thinking and my personality has changed. Now, y'all don't know that's true, but I know that's true. And a big part of my life is AA, and I come down here and I'm willing to share about myself with other people. And I believe that God uses that to change other people. Not a very big percentage. I meet new people all the time. And this isn't for everybody. Wasn't for my father. Isn't for a lot of good people. It's for a guy like me, and I invite anybody that thinks that they got this problem to join us down here. And so I'll shut up now. Thank you. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker tonight, and what I can say about this lady is I think she's the same as me. She's one of them AA people. And here's Lucy.
Thank you, Bob. My name's Lucy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lucy.
I'm extremely nervous, so please bear with me. My sobriety date is January 8, 2008, and it is the grace of God that I'm standing here today.
That's okay. Get early first.
I guess I'll just start at the beginning. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and had a very normal childhood, two great parents. I was born 3 minutes before my twin brother, and you know, really had a very happy childhood. I was always active in sports and loved to sing and paint and do things like normal kids did. But I think My parents got divorced when I was 14, and I took that pretty hard. I didn't really see it coming, and my whole world as I knew it just kind of turned upside down. And up until that point, I hadn't really experimented with drinking or drugs. I was a good student and focused on school and those things. But my parents split up, and I started experimenting with drinking. The first time I drank, we had a bar in my basement, and nobody ever used it. It was just a bunch of bottles that kind of sat there collecting dust. And I had some girls over one night for a slumber party, and we decided to go downstairs and try out Dad's gin. And I remember that it tasted terrible, but I loved it. And I drank more than anybody else. They took a sip, and they were done, and I just kept drinking. And what I especially remember is that my girlfriend had written down in her journal that everyone went to Lucy's house and got drunk, and her mom read her journal, and we all got in trouble. And that was kind of how my drinking went. I drank and got in trouble. And I never quite... It didn't matter to me. Regardless of the consequences, I love drinking too much. And so I think throughout high school, my drinking progressed to after school. I quit all sports that I was active in, and my friends changed. Instead of the wholesome honor roll students that I had previously associated with, I hung out with the kids that like to drink and smoke and not do their homework, and those were the cool kids, I thought. So so I started hanging out with different people, and I was drinking every day after school at 15. It really affected my life in all areas. I think I became extremely depressed, and I pulled back from my family, my brother, all my friends that I used to hang out with. They just, they noticed a big change in me. And so at 17, I woke up one morning and was told there were some people in the living room that needed to talk to me. And I went downstairs, hungover, and saw a couple of friends, my mom and my dad, who were divorced, and whenever they were in the same room, it was never good. My brother and... I guess some sort of interventionist. And everyone went around the room and they said, why they were concerned with me, and that my plane was leaving in 2 hours and I would be going to Minnesota for 30 days. So, needless to say, that's where I went. And honestly, I had a blast. I don't think that's what my parents had in mind, but I got to leave, my world as I knew it, and hang out with about 30 other kids just like me for a month. And I didn't stay sober after that. I got home, and I'm still 17. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm thinking, there's no way in hell that I am done drinking. I think a part of me knew that my drinking was not normal. Every single time I drank, I blacked out. Every time. And if I didn't black out, to me, it was a failure. I know that sounds really... really bad, but I think I was just so unhappy with my life that I that was the only escape that I had, was to black out and just forget everything. So I got home from rehab and convinced my parents that I would go to AA and stop drinking and go to college. And mind you, I had applied to all party schools and planned on going to at least one of them. So I finished out my senior year going to AA, and for the most part, I stayed sober. I never worked a program. I got a sponsor who I never called, I never talked to. Really, I didn't have a sponsor. Just some lady named Sarah who I told my mom about. you know, I compared myself out of AA. You know, I thought I was too young. I'd never had a DUI. I'd never been to jail. I mean, I looked for everyone that was the exact opposite of me. And eventually, I drank again. I decided to go to a very small private college in South Carolina. It was in the Bible Belt. I thought I would be safe. My parents thought I would be safe. After 6 weeks at this school, I was asked to leave. Needless to say, I stood out really, really badly. So, I called my parents, and actually the dean called my parents and said, you need to come pick up your daughter. She's no longer welcome at our university. And so... I proceeded to pack up my dorm room and drive with my mom 13 hours back to Baltimore. And that was a pretty rough ride. I got home and I was back living with my parents and tried the whole AA thing again. I did some drug and alcohol classes. And for me, I think... When I was in Baltimore, I had my friends, these people that just kind of sucked me back in, and I had a really hard time distancing myself from these people, and I bounced in and out of AA for the next, I think, 3 or 4 years. I actually met one of my really good friends today in AA, and we would go out and drink. I never dove in head first. I wasn't committed, and I certainly never had a God or a higher power. I heard that word, and I just wanted to run. Like I said, I spent the next couple of years drinking and using drugs, and my life was a mess. I had my own apartment and was enrolled in a college. I say enrolled because I never went. It was awful. I mean, I literally just, I look at my transcript and it's just F's across the board, and I eventually wanted to kill myself. I got to the point where I was drinking in the morning. I was a vodka drinker, and I kept a handle of classy $15 vodka in my freezer at all times, and I would wake up and make myself a drink and go about my day. And I'll never forget, I had a friend over, and I had poured some vodka in a Diet Snapple, and I was drinking it. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and she asked for a sip. And I said, no, you don't want this. And she took a sip, and she said, it tastes like there's really shitty vodka in here. And I just pretended like I had no idea what she was talking about, and proceeded to finish my iced tea. And, but I just felt like at that moment, I don't know, it hit me, like, who are you? You're drinking vodka at 10:30 in the morning, and you're 22 years old, and you want to die. Like, that's no way to live your life. At this point, I had pretty much alienated my family. My friends were getting pretty sick of me. And I didn't have anything going for me. I wasn't working. I babysat like two nights a week and was at the bar constantly. Bartenders hated me because I always walked out of my tab, and I was a mess. I was embarrassing. And I don't know, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. But at the same time, alcohol was the only thing that gave me any sort of joy. I mean, I say that I was depressed and you know, my life was terrible. But when I drank, even towards the end, like, it brought me joy, and I loved it. I loved to drink. When I drank, I smiled more, I laughed, I thought I could dance, I don't know, I loved to drink so much, and, you know, when I wasn't drinking, I was miserable, and, you know, the thought of never drinking again, you know, I thought my life would be over. So, anyway, 4 years ago, around Thanksgiving, my family always gets together, and, you know, there's 15 of us at mom's house, and then 15 of us at dad's house, and I always get together and go with my brother, and I didn't go, because I was in bed, staring at a bottle of pills and vodka, and I wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to see my family. I didn't want to see my friends. I couldn't envision my life with or without alcohol. I knew I couldn't keep drinking, but I could not fathom not drinking. And so I felt that my only option was just to go. I saw how much pain I was putting my family through, and I just felt like people would be better off without me. And then the door opened to my apartment, and what I hadn't realized was that my parents had made themselves a key, which was probably very smart on their part, but, you know, my mom came in, and she looked at me in bed, I think she knew. I didn't have to say anything, but she looked at me, and she looked at the bottle, and she lost it, and, so the next day, I had another one of those fun group meetings, and this time I was taken to the emergency room, and when I went to the emergency room, I was put in a padded cell, and I sat there for 2 days. There was a window about this big, and a rubber chair that sort of reclined into a bed. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, okay, if I didn't want to kill myself before, now I really want to kill myself. And so I guess, you know, they thought I was going to harm myself, which I was, so this was the solution to that. And I left there and spent a couple days in another lovely institution, and all this time I was just thinking, you know, I can't stop drinking. I can't. I have to drink. That's my only option. And eventually I gave up. I got out of there and I kind of bounced around from person's couch to person's couch, and just I gave up. I called my parents. I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And they said, how does Florida sound? And I said, fantastic. So I moved down to Florida about 4 years ago, and I entered a program that introduced me to AA in a way that I had never seen it before. I went to an AA meeting every day for over 2 years, and I went to AA at the beginning of my day, and I got a sponsor, and I actually called that sponsor. In fact, I had to call that sponsor every morning and read her the meditation at 6:30 in the morning, and I had to pray every day. I had to pray on my knees and every night, and I had to call three ladies every day, and I had to get a job. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty miserable for a long time. In fact, I was suicidal in sobriety, but I think it was mostly due to the fact that I thought when I stopped drinking, my life was just going to magically get better, and that was not the case. My family wanted nothing to do with me for quite some time. They were done. They were done. A lot of my friends were done with me. I lost a lot. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a phone. I was sleeping on more couches. But it made me have to work for my sobriety. If I wanted to go to a meeting, I had to call until I found a ride. Even if I called 10 people. My job was landscaping in Florida. I worked, you know, and I think that saved me, honestly. Manual labor, I mean, I could not sit and think. That was the worst thing for me. I needed to be busy, I needed to be active, I needed to be helping others, and I was volunteering, actually, for the first year. So, yeah, I worked really, really, really hard. I think to this day it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I hung out with older women for the first time ever. My Friday nights consisted of CSI and cards with the ladies, and you know, I think it was the best thing for me, because these women saw me for who I was, which was an entitled, manipulative brat, and they wouldn't take any of it ever. So you know, yeah, sometimes, you know, going home after my Friday night of Scrabble was a little, little depressing. But I remember one point, you know, people used to just look at me and be like, man, you are just so miserable. You're really unhappy. And I'd say, yeah, I know. And then one day people just started saying, you know, you look happier. And I couldn't see it in myself. But one thing I remember hearing when I was early on in sobriety was, don't leave until the miracle happens. And I believe that a miracle happened to me. I mean, one day I didn't want to kill myself, and then the next day I was unhappy, but, you know, it was bearable. And then the next day I smiled, and before I knew it, I laughed and I was happy. And it took a while. It definitely did. But I got my family back in my life. My brother, I always resented my brother because he wasn't an alcoholic, and not only was he not an alcoholic, but he did everything extremely well. And I seemed to run everything into the ground. And he has always been loving and supportive and caring, but I just wanted nothing to do with him. And our relationship isn't perfect today, but he's in my life, and I make an effort to be in his. Oh gosh, I don't know. My life today is so much better. You know, I have a wonderful sponsor, and she's helped me with the steps, and she's really helped me find God on a daily basis, and not just when I am feeling down or like things aren't going my way, but, you know, just having that relationship with God on an everyday basis, I think has been the single biggest tool that has helped me. Because if I don't, you know, like Bob was saying, no person's going to keep me sober. I know that. And if I don't have God every day, then I don't have a shot at this. I've seen a lot of people go back out. I've seen a lot of people die. And, you know, I don't want that for me. I don't want that for anyone. But my life's too good today to give up. And think I've worked with some other girls, and that for me has been really when the program sort of came full circle, I think. I have a younger cousin who is 21, and I just got to spend some time with her a few weekends ago, and she's just like me. She doesn't think she's got a drinking problem. She thinks she's depressed, and you know, I got to share with her some of my experience, and whether or not she listened or she does anything with it, you know, I got to share my experience with her and let her know that I'm there. And I think being able to put my experience to good use is just awesome. Because I think even for a while in sobriety, I still felt ashamed for who I was and the things that I'd done. And to be able to see someone who's going through exactly what I went through and tell them you can have a life beyond your wildest dreams, you know, there's no greater feeling than that. And I will say, for people who are new, I think one of the things that really saved me early on was to find people that had what I wanted. And There were some girls that I surrounded myself with when I was first getting sober, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. They didn't always make it look good, but we had fun, and sobriety is about living, and it's about having a good time and growing up and being responsible. And you know, I've got some of the best girlfriends that I've ever had. And you know, that's what life is about, you know, friends. And I don't know, I feel so grateful for my life today. And you know, I didn't think it was for me. I didn't think I would enjoy sobriety. I didn't think I would ever stay sober, but it's possible for anyone. It definitely is. So I think that's all I have, but thank you.